Welcome, and thanks for joining us for the weekly podcast of Center Church San Diego. We are so happy to connect with you online today. You matter to God. You really do. Whatever your past, no matter what your circumstance right now, God loves you. And you belong right here. Hope starts now as we invite Christ to take his rightful place at the center of our lives. So let's jump in.
Good morning. Merry and bright. That is the hope, right? That's what this season is supposed to be all about. But have you been to Mission Valley? Exactly. That's right. Fender benders at every exit and every little curb of the freeway from all the hustle and the bustle. Stolen packages, angry shoppers, consumed with more getting than giving, and overwhelmed by all that is still left to do. Slow down, hurry up, get more, fight less. All the things that distract us from merry and bright. Last weekend, we had our open house that happened to be at my house, and a wonderful night that it was, but I had something that wanted to distract me from merry and bright. My car got broken into, and my purse was stolen, and Marcus called me, my husband called me, and early in the morning, on Saturday morning, and he was headed out at 7 a.m., and he calls me, and he's like, hey, your window's completely broken, and your purse is gone. And my first response was, it's all good. My second response was, that's my favorite purse. My third response was, I really liked my sunglasses. Did they look around? Did they ditch the bag and the sunglasses? Those are my best sunglasses. I knew that the shopping spree at Walmart would not would get refunded out of my account, and I knew that I could get my credit cards back. And honestly, it's been so hot, I was like, awesome. Now I can have more of a windblown effect, minus the window, it's going to be okay. I'm going to go ahead and not replace the bag, and I'm moving forward. I'm going to be trending. You just watch. I'm getting a fanny pack because they cannot take that off of me. And as far as the glasses are concerned, I now have something on my Christmas list. So it all worked out okay. And I could recognize in that moment, I recognize, you know what, this is a rookie move on behalf of the enemy of my soul that just wants to distract me from merry and bright. And that was a great, great morning because I could see it for what it was. But I'll be honest, I'm not always able to see it for what it is. And sometimes I get terribly distracted. And sometimes it can be the littlest things, like my kids not putting on their shoes quick enough for us to get out of the house, and it will literally derail me into a frenzy over shoes. It's sometimes the simplest, smallest things that can distract us and cause us to live so hurried and crazy and set us over the edge. Was hurriedness present the night Jesus was born, I wonder? In Luke 2:17, it says, so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. So there it is. Hurry was actually present that night. However, it wasn't to the mall or grocery store or event and party that people were rushing. It was to Jesus, the whole entire reason for this season. So could it be the same for us? In the midst of our holiday hustle and tasks, could we just stop for a moment? Could we slow down long enough to hurry in another direction? Could we move toward the one who the season is really all about? Could we put our activities on hold so we might just quietly be settled, be still, be silent in the presence of Jesus for just a minute? I want to look at a passage in John today. We're going to kind of break it apart a little bit and look at the disciples, who honestly are a lot like you and me. And we're going to look to them to discover a path to merry and bright and how we can become merry and bright, which is super counterintuitive often, very countercultural, especially at this time of year. So why don't you look at the screens, and it's in John chapter 21, verses 3 through 7. Are we ready? Here we go. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them, and they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat. But that night, they caught nothing. Okay, I was reading the screens. Let me go back to my notes here. They caught nothing. So early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." And when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." The first thing to becoming merry and bright is be open. Be open. That passage says, "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. The reason that this is interesting is that these were experienced fishermen. They were not rookies. They were only 100 yards from shore, so it wasn't like they were just so far out that they couldn't catch anything. And the kind of fish that they were trying to catch was called mushed. And mushed fish actually don't like cold water. So when the sun goes down, the fish swarm closer into the shore and in their big swarm of fish. And it's super easy to catch them because all that the fishermen have to do is just drop their nets and swoop them all up. So it wasn't even that the job or the task was that hard. And it says that they had a lot of nets, which indicates that this was a really established group of fishermen, and there were a lot of them to be able to do this task. But they caught nothing. And that is when the scripture tells us that Jesus called out to them, and he said in verse 6, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." And they did. They were open. They were open. This seems to be a very random or even an arbitrary request. There is nothing magical or even scientific about having your net on the right side of the boat versus the left side of the boat. It is actually just a request that God asked them to do to see, will you be open? Will you be open to listen to me and do what I say? And it's somewhat arbitrary, a little absurd, and random. But it's not uncommon for Jesus to ask us to do seemingly absurd requests. It's actually in God's nature to do these sorts of things. Think about it. Think about this whole season. Sending his son in the form of man, in the form of a baby? Crazy. Then being born to a virgin in a stable surrounded by farm animals. Random. Totally random. Shepherds and kings, with both very extreme diverse in their background and their upbringing, following a star to see a baby born that an angel said was going to be the Messiah. That's a little ludicrous, really, if you just think about it at face value. That's often the way that God operates and works. And my question for you this morning is, what radical request is God asking of you? He has one. He has a radical request of you. But are you open? Are you open to random? Cast your net on the right side of the boat. Random. Are you open? It's likely that you already know, as you're sitting here, you likely already know what that request is. That's sometimes how the Lord works. But we tend to get so hurried that we push those requests aside. We forget them. Or we bury them deep, deep down because we're afraid to say yes. We're afraid to say yes, so we bury it. We say no for so long that we actually just don't even remember, and we don't obey, and we don't get to experience the full net that God has for each one of us. Maybe it's for you to give what you don't think that you have. Maybe it's to be kind to the one who has rejected you, or forgive. Maybe it's buying a gift for someone this season that's not even on your list. Maybe it's to volunteer. Say yes to that job. Take that new position. Join a small group. Start a small group. Take control of your health. Share your faith. I understand fully that you will likely feel ill-equipped, unworthy. You'll feel inadequate. You might feel ashamed or uninvited, terribly afraid. So what? Because right feelings will follow your right actions. When you listen to Jesus and you do what he says and you cast your net on the right side of the boat, the feelings will follow. They will. And even if you aren't feeling ill-equipped, even if you're like, I know I can do that, like the fishermen, they weren't ill-equipped. They were totally adequate to do. It's something they were professionals. So even if you're like, I know I can do that, but you just won't, or you just haven't, or you just, for whatever reason, can't, I want you to consider being open as well, because maybe it's that there's a different invitation or a fresh thing that's going to lead to your abundant life, your merry and bright. Be open. You know, every time that I invite you to my home, last weekend when we invited everyone to our home, every time I pursue a new friendship, every time I make myself available for a new act of service, I am scared. I'm terribly afraid. You can ask my husband the things that, who do you think you are, Jen? Floods in my head. Who do you think you are? What if they think you're crazy? They're right. What if you take that step, it's tremendously successful, and what if you're misunderstood? Or even worse to me, what if you're misrepresented? But every time that I've cast the net, Jesus has been faithful to fill it, because it's his request. It's his request of you, and he always delivers. Always delivers. This past week, you saw that video earlier where we did snow days. That was a new thing. We've never done that before, and I will tell you, it's been a really long time since I got crazy at a school of elementary kids and did a school assembly. For most of you that participated, you've never done a school assembly, and you were open to doing something new. And what happened that day is we broke up the school into three different assemblies. And there was the kindergarten and first, second graders, piece of cake. Like, they just think you're amazing. Then there's the third, fourth, and fifth graders. And I had to maybe, like, bust out a few moves to show them that, like, I actually am kind of cool. And then there's the sixth, seventh, and eighth graders. Okay, so I will be honest. As we, like, in between, I'm like, okay, guys, this is going to be a little rougher one. I don't know. I don't know if I still got it. I'd like to think I still got it, but I don't think I still got it. And so, we did this thing at the very beginning where as they came in, they broke up into different groups. And so many of you in here, like, did something, you were really open to trying new things. And we each had one of the 12 days of Christmas. And I was 5 golden rings. Now, the whole idea was that it was like this competition between the groups and who could sing the loudest when it came to their number in the 12 days of Christmas. That kindergarten through 5th grade, we won every time. I mean, how can you not? It's like 5 golden rings. We had the longest. It was it wasn't very fast. We always were prepared. We killed it. 6th, 7th, and 8th came in. I was like, all right. Hey, guys. I'm cool. We're going to be 5 golden rings. And literally, they were like, no joke. And Teresa, she was 2 turtle doves. And she sees me getting crazy with my 5 golden rings because we got to warm up and practice. And she looks at me. She's like, Jen, I have never done this before. And I'm like, you got this. Like, I'm going to crush you, but you got this. And she was right here, and I was like right there. And I didn't have it at all. In fact, when the 5 golden rings came for my middle school kids, I have middle schoolers. You would think that I would have this nailed, but I've lost it. And so when it came, literally, we all got down and we were supposed to jump up. I jump up, 5 golden rings. I was all by myself. Not a single middle, not my whole crew just sat there. Just like that. Teresa, she was totally open. She's like, okay, here we go. Her two turtle doves, they killed it. They like crushed it. They won. They were so loud. And this little girl right here, can you show Chelsea up on the screens for me? This little girl that was at the end of the video, she was a two turtle dove. Teresa did something very uncomfortable. She was open to come and trying something new and volunteering. And Teresa is a little bit of a different personality than me. Like, she was a little scared to do it. I was a little overconfident. And this little girl was in her group. And after the assembly, Chelsea went to our children's pastor and she said, "That was the most fun I've ever had in my entire life." I know, don't do that. It's going to make me cry. Most fun I ever had. Because Teresa was open to hold a sign and scream out two turtle doves. Most fun ever life. Be open. In Psalm 119, it says, "Open my eyes to see the wonderful truths in your instructions." It might feel random. It might feel arbitrary. It might even be ludicrous. But be open, because that always leads to Mary and bright. The next step to becoming merry and bright is be astonished. Be astonished. In that passage, after they cast their nets on the other side, it says, "When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, 'It is the Lord. It is the Lord.'" I think it's really important to note here that this obedience to cast their net on the other side was not out of great faith. This wasn't an act of like absolute trust in Jesus. That's not where the disciples were at this moment. This Jesus that came to them on the shore was actually the resurrected Jesus. Jesus had already died and ascended. And so the guys, the disciples, they were hungry. They wanted some fish. They went back to what they knew, and they went out to catch some. And so honestly, not being able to catch any and them obeying the instruction of the guy that called out to them on the shore was actually just desperation, because they were coming up empty because they weren't able to provide. They weren't getting what they wanted or what they had set out for in that night. The truth is, the disciples really shouldn't even have been there. That whole story shouldn't have even totally taken place. And I want to take you back to a very similar story in Luke chapter 5, when Jesus was on the earth in his early years of ministry, and he was standing on a shore, much like the story that we're looking at in John, and there was a crowd of people that he was talking to, and then there was a boat, and that boat all belonged to Simon Peter, so very similar. And much like the night that we're talking about in John chapter 21, in Luke 5, the guys were out fishing Peter's boat, and they were catching nothing. They couldn't catch any fish. And Jesus, from the shore, called out, and he requested Simon to drop his net. Drop his net deep into the water to catch some fish. Now, this was Simon Peter's answer in Luke. It says, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. That is when the Lord called Simon Peter and those men that were with him to be his disciples. It was there that he said, "You'll no longer be fishermen, but you'll become my partners." And they became partners in ministry with Jesus and became fishers of men. So in Luke 5, 9, you can look on the screens for this. It says, "For he," Peter, "and all his companions were astonished." They were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. But now here we find ourselves in John, after Jesus has ascended from this earth, and his closest companions, the one that he calls to be his partners, his dearest followers, they're not out fishing for men. They go back to what they know. They weren't even supposed to be there. They completely dismissed that extraordinary life that they had been living with Jesus. Jesus had taught them absolutely everything he knew. They were called to go out and be the foundation of the church. They were to be the pioneers of changing the world through the earliest local church. But then Jesus died, and he left this earth, and he left being right by their side, and they got scared. The mission was bigger than what they had imagined. They were challenged. It was challenging. It wasn't as easy as they thought. And they scattered, and they hid, and they slipped right back into comfortable, doing what they knew, fishing. Has this ever happened to you? Have you ever known you're supposed to do something, but then it gets a little challenging, it's a little scarier, it's bigger than what you thought, it takes more time than you thought, it takes more boldness than you thought, and then you leave this room, you go to work, you get back in your routine, and you go back to what you know. Being comfortable, which is what the fishermen did, it's what you and I so often do. We just go back to fishing, and being comfortable, it requires very little faith, if any. And faith is like a muscle. It develops, strong or weak, depending on how much you use it. And we don't always like to flex that muscle, because flexing that muscle requires dependence on God. And even though we hear God can do great things, we have experienced for ourselves. In fact, most of us are sitting in these chairs because God has done something in your life that compels you to come and sit here. So you believe it. You know it's true, but at some point along the way, it seems easier to stay comfortable. But I want to urge you this morning that if you don't get out of your comfort zone, you might find yourself tuning out to much of your life on a daily basis, or even worse, missing out on the great opportunity that God has for you that will lead to a full net, merry and bright. Each year, Marcus and I, we pick a word. And I'm sure many of you guys pick a word. It's not like, you know, special thing to do. I mean, it's special, but it's not like unique, I guess. And so for us, it's just our way of beginning our year with intention. And this past year, 2017, our year was wonder. That was our word for the year, wonder. And I'm pretty sure that we chose that word because we had some ideas in mind of what the year could look like if we chose that word. We had some hopes of what wonderful things God was going to do. And I think that we just really anticipated it was going to be like mind blown year for the Jones tribe. Actually, 2017 was one of the most challenging years that we have had to date in our entire marriage, for sure, hands down, second only to 2004. And so, you know what I began to do when things got hard? When things were really challenging? I began to take matters in my own hands, and I did what I know, and I just started fishing. I said, all right then, I'll figure this out. I'll live independently. I will do more. I will work more. I will go after. I will make it happen. I will get it done. Fine. You won't? I will. For me, sometimes that independent living comes in the form of a little hardened heart and a little anger, if you can see. But it comes in different forms for all of us, that independent, okay, I'm not going to live in astonishment anymore. I'm going to go do this because I don't see you doing. You're not filling the net. And for some, you strive. You strive and strive, and you work harder, and you do more. For some, you escape or you numb out. Retail therapy, Netflix binging, social media scrolling, ice cream overeating. But how does that work for us? I find that so often we remember the things we should forget and we forget the things we should remember. So, in my year of wonder, at the end of this very rough year, I remember that my deepest calling and my greatest connections, they actually have always come from my biggest pains. I remember that the things that feel like misery always lead to a mission and something that God has for me. I remember that the places that feel super barren always lead to better with God when I'm dependent upon God. The fears that creep up in the middle of the night and that can so overwhelm, that's what causes us to actually lean in. We can look for our own solution, independent of God, or we can look to the Savior. And in this acid test of our faith, we grow. We actually grow and we can find peace beyond our understanding and joy beyond our circumstance. That's astonishment. That's wonder. And being astonished, it requires intention. Often it's a choice. It's a total choice. And it's really a decision to remember the significant things and the significant places that God has taken you from and to, and the things that he has done and the ways he has provided. It's just remembering that, and it reminds us that it doesn't really depend on us. We just need to depend on him. That is why this year our word is miracle. And that is not because we have something specific that we're asking God for. It's a reminder to me that he is God and I am not. And that much like the disciples, I'm desperate for him. It's my intention to trust in him and live 2018 in dependence of who he is and what he wants to do. Cast your net on the right side of the boat. Full net. Miracle. Merry and bright. And then the last thing is be different. So we be open, we be astonished, and we be different. Every Thursday morning, I gather with a group of women, and it's my Center Church small group. And I would encourage you to find one or start one in 2018. It's a game changer for your life. But this last week, my group, we had breakfast together. And, you know, we were just chatting about the holidays and the chaos and what was left to do and just, you know, just stuff and where we had to go and the different events and all of this. And we paused, though, for a second, and we challenged ourselves a bit. Because in many ways, this Thursday gathering sounded very similar to last year's gathering and the year before that gathering and the year before that gathering. The chaos, the hustle, the crazy, the bustle of Christmas. And so we asked ourselves, so what's going to change? How can it be different? So I want to compare both of these stories in Simon Peter. Because in both of the stories, Simon Peter, God asked him to do something very similar. In one story, he said, drop your net a little deeper. In the other story, he said, cast on the other side. Both requests a little random and considering the circumstances, absurd. God is making similar requests of you and I right now. Right now. But often, the reason that things don't change for us, our nets aren't full, it's because we take that request from God, and we put it in a little box titled, too hard, not enough money, not enough time, too scared, can't, won't, or some of you are just brave enough to call it what it is. No. But when we put that request in a box like that, and then we turn back to the same thing, just a different day, we get the result of that, which is stagnant, mundane, tired, same. And while his request to you might feel absurd, what he's asking you might seem, whoa, really? Maybe we can be a little different. and look at what feels sort of absurd as actually an opportunity to make our life merry and bright. It was absolutely absurd this past year that my 11-year-old daughter broke her own arm twice in the same spot, the second time bending the titanium rod that was supposed to hold it together. It was so absurd that even the orthopedist, the seasoned orthopedist at Children's Hospital, has only seen it happen twice in her entire career, and the second time being Tatum. It's absurd. It's ridiculous. It doesn't happen. But that led to an 11-year-old learning some valuable lessons. If as adults we could learn, we'd lead to a lot more merry and bright. She learned how to manage disappointment. She learned how to be brave, even when she's scared to death. She learned that she can actually do hard things more than once. It is absurd. I still sometimes think about the day that Marcus came home and told me he had a burden for the heart of the city and that we were going to start a church in Barrio Logan. It was an absurd request. But it was absurd because we're unlikely. We're very unqualified. It's super uncomfortable. We didn't have enough money. We certainly didn't have enough ability. But it led us all here together, and honestly, just this week, serving 500 kids in a school, bringing joy to and life and hope to kids who have greater need than my kids will ever know. That's merry and bright, and I wouldn't change it for anything. Absurd requests will lead to a full net. I mean, think about this. It was absurd that Jesus came in the form of a baby, only to die on a cross. But it led to the hope of the world, salvation. Salvation for you and me. For anyone who wants it can receive it. When I was 20 years old, I responded to an absurd request from God, and I moved to Arizona, where I became a part of a ministry training school. And you guys think I'm crazy now. Well, you should have seen me at 20. And we did really radical things. We focused on the urban core of cities across the U.S. and then even abroad. We did a lot of things internationally as well. And when I was there, we were like missionaries, so we didn't make an income. We were 20. We didn't have, a cup of noodles is what, a dollar? We lived on it. There was a woman there, and she was single, and she was 40, which when I'm 43, and I feel that is so young and lively. But when I was 20, I was like, who is this, like, older lady that is hanging out with us? And so she was different. She was definitely different. And she would come. She was not a part of our program, but every once in a while she would come and she would teach or she would just hang out. And over the course of time, she started inviting me and two other girls over to her house. And we were far from I wasn't that far, but it felt like it. We traveled so much that we didn't get to come home and see our families much. And so she would have us over and cook us a meal. We were like missionaries, so we didn't have money to get our nails done or our hair done. And so she would do our nails or buy a box of highlights, and she would highlight our hair. And she would do these different things. And what that led to, all three of us girls, the year prior to go, none of us knew each other. We were from different parts of the country. We were all actually very unique. I don't think on our own we would have ever really connected and been friends. But she invited us to her home. We all three, the year prior to going, had kind of a traumatic event happen in our life that not a lot of people knew about. And so when we would gather in her home and she invited us in, very different, it led to healing for all of us. It led to hope for each of us. It's led to years of friendship that are rooted in such deep core elements that This morning I spoke to one of them and said, hey, pray, I'm speaking and I'm actually going to talk about us. But we're still friends to this day, even though they live on the East Coast and I live here. Lori was different. She did something that might seem simple, but God knew it was big. He said, hey, Lori, these girls need healing. Invite them into your home. God, I have plans for these girls, but they need you to pour that into them, and then they need each other for the long haul. Invite them over. And now each of us, in our own way, do very similar things. And it's all because of Lori, who had been astonished by the power of God in her life. She was open to what he might ask. And then she was different and said, hey, girls, I know I'm kind of a crazy lady. I know I'm a little unique. She is. Kind of like me. But I want to invite you into my home. Come on over. Be different. It was a game changer. It was a game changer for all three of us girls. And so becoming merry and bright for next year to be different than this year, and even if you had a good year, but for it to be even better, it might require you being different, doing something out of the ordinary, doing something that's not in your routine. When we look back at these stories and these passages with Simon Peter, both stories are virtually the same. In both stories, the men were fishing and unable to catch anything. In both stories, Jesus approaches them with a random request. They obey and he delivers. But I want to look at what's different. Let's look at what's different at Peter's response in these passages. In Luke 5, right after Jesus filled their nets, and this is the Jesus that asked them to be fishers of men, the one who was still in ministry before he had died on the cross. And he went out and he asked them to drop their net in the water deep. And this is after he fills it. This is the response of Simon Peter on this one. It says, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at his knees and said, Jesus, go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. Now in John 21, now the resurrected Jesus comes on the shore. This is Peter's response. And here in John 21, it says, Peter says, it is the Lord. Then he wrapped his outer garment around him and jumped into the water and ran to Jesus. In one passage, Peter pushes Jesus away. The other one, he runs toward him. It's much like the Christmas we talked about earlier and that we read in the beginning. Are you running toward this season's true meaning? Yes, Jesus? Yes? Are you dropping your net? Are you astonished? Are you open? Is it going to be different? Or are you pushing him away? And are you too hurried toward all the things that this world might offer instead? Comfortable. I found a passage that has empowered me in Romans to be different and to be okay with that. And it has empowered me to be countercultural often, sometimes even counterintuitive. And I want to share it with you. It's in Romans 12:2 this morning. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect, always merry and bright. And so this morning, as we close, I want you to grab your You Belong card, or for those of you who are on the app, pull up the part that says My Next Right Step. And I am going to ask you to do something different. It's a little bit like my friend Lori. It's really uncomfortable. It's super counter to what you might want to do, even though deep down you kind of do want to do, but you're just a little bit afraid. I'm going to want you to turn it over. And there's a place here where you can invite, write down 5 people that you would invite to come to church with you next week. And it's scary, I know, because I've done it time and time again, and I've been rejected time and time again. But I want you to know that there are many people sitting in this room that at some point have said yes, because somebody had them in their head and in their heart. Maybe it didn't write it down on a piece of paper, but God said to you, hey, cast your net on the other side, and you went and you said, okay, I'll do it. And you invited them to come, and it's been a game changer for their life. It has completely shifted the entire trajectory for their family. This past week at our open house, there were some people there that are far from God. Because that, honestly, I love you guys. I think you're great. I love hanging out with people far from God, though. They're a good time. Just kidding. Totally kidding. But I love being around people that don't know Jesus yet. And many of those people have been on my thigh for the last 3 years, and many of them have not shown up yet. But I thought, maybe they'll come to my house. Perhaps they'll come to my house, and they did. And you were there, and you know what they said? Those are your church people? Yeah! Wow. The love, the warmth, it's palpable. And God's word says that they're going to know us by our love. And they're probably just a little step closer to coming actually in so that they can hear what God has to say to them. But it will require you getting uncomfortable, doing something that's a little scary, and listening to Jesus, to who it might be that needs hope this Christmas. And I know that that's what Lori did when she invited me into her home. So I encourage you to listen and go, who is it? It might seem random. It might even feel arbitrary. It for sure will feel ludicrous, especially in the moment that you invite them. But I guarantee you that it's his request, so he will deliver. And it will lead, on all accounts, it will at some point lead to merry and bright. So let's pray, and then we'll give you a chance to fill these out, and Marcus will come back up. Lord, thank you so much for your word. I think we all want life that is full, that is hope-filled, that is next year would be better than this year, that this season would be different and merry and bright. And so I just pray that as we heard your words spoken to our hearts, that we wouldn't put it in a box. The request that you have, that we know in our gut, that we would actually take that step of faith and depend on you so that you can fill our net. And for the people that are coming to our heads right now, for the neighbor, for the coworker, for the classmates, for the boss, the friend, the family member, the other parent at school, the teacher, whoever it may be, that we would write them down and that we would depend on you for the outcome for their life, but we would take that step and cast our net and just offer an invitation. In Jesus' name.
Thanks again for joining us today. The question now is, what are you going to do with what you just discovered? Take a step to connect with us in person? Or perhaps choose to support the ministry of Center Church with your financial generosity? Take your next right step and visit us online at centerchurchsd.com. See you next time.